Hi, and welcome to the 37th episode of the Naina Redhu Experience. Thank you for listening. I did the last one after I'd done a couple of meetings that week. And this week, as in today, I just got back from a meeting. So today is actually the 16th of Feb that I'm recording this. And again, I wanted to talk about what the meetings were about and the work that I've been doing this week. And I also wanted to talk about what I do when I shoot street style and how I got into it, how I got started, how I got my first paid gig and how it's been going on since then. Okay, so I'll start with the meetings that I did first. I was at the India Design thing, which is happening at NSIC. And I had gone there because Asian Paints, who's one of the sponsors, they have this. They started doing this really cool thing where, so most of us know Asian Paints as like they do paints, right? And now they're also trying to do, keeping the stuff that is functional, they're also doing aesthetically pleasing stuff. So there's, you know, it's something that looks like a woodcut and artists actually come and do it for you if you have exterior wood somewhere, etc. And they also have other relief work that they can come and do for you, and materials they will provide, and you can do it on concrete and stone and wood and things like that. So it was pretty cool. I honestly didn't expect that. I thought it would have something to do with paints. And so I'm going to be posting about that on Instagram, where you can see some of the photos. I also saw the white rhino stall there, but I think when I went, it wasn't really ready. Otherwise, I would have definitely grabbed a beer. I love their wheat beer. After that, from NSIC, I headed to, I had a meeting with someone over at Malaysian Tourism. Now, usually, you know what happens is when these people come to India, the way the traditional model has worked, that they come here and they engage with travel agents. Because generally, Indians, especially middle class, we all go to a travel agency. We ask a travel agent that, you know, we want to go to Malaysia, for example, what should we do? What are the things that you would recommend we go for? Sure, the internet has come in, but internet also, you know, with people like us also, there is so much information out there that coming back to someone who can give you a personal touch, you know, and tell you that, okay, these are the places that I think will fit and work for you. So the way travel agents do that is a lot more personal. Similarly, I mean, like a blogger, if you've been following a blogger for a long time, you know the kind of stuff that they do, the way they recommend things, you kind of understand where they're coming from. So they usually invite travel agents, but this time when they came in, they wrote to a bunch of bloggers. I don't know who the other bloggers are. And I usually don't do meetings like this, but I was curious. And like I have said earlier, that 2017 for me is a year of meetings. So I try not to say no to a meeting. You know, I prefer one-on-one meetings. So if someone says that we would like to meet you, I try to look for all kinds of excuses to make it happen. Whereas in 2016, my focus was, how can I get out of this? Because I don't want to go and meet anybody. Because main reason was, maybe I'm lazy, I don't know, but traffic is crazy. Just sitting in a cab for 2 hours one way and then coming back after a meeting, which basically people tell you that they haven't really even seen your blog, which actually happened here also. Both of them had not seen my blog. And honestly, I don't really blame them, because I think they must have reached out to like 100 people, and maybe someone in their office looked at it, which is where they kind of got a list from. I was anyways in the area. NSIC is not very far from Pragati Maidan. So I headed over there, and oh my god, Pragati Maidan is a madhouse. I've only ever gone there for Fashion Week, Amazon Fashion Week. And before that, it was Will's Fashion Week. And I have never actually been to the trade area. And this is where I had to go and have this meeting with them at their booth inside one of the halls. And I was like totally clueless about what to do, where to go. I didn't have their India numbers, if they had an India number. And so I basically got down at one of the gates where it said SATTE. That's what it's called. It's a travel and tourism kind of trade fair that happens every year in India. I got down and I went in, and then I walked, and then I walked some more. And so I didn't even have, like, I wasn't registered. So they have an on-site registration for which you have to pick up a ticket at the gate, and then you go inside to hall number 12, and there you actually register yourself. Now, both places at NSIC and for the India Design ID and for the Pragati Maidan thing, I was reminded of my privilege. I don't feel guilty about it at all. I think it makes my life a lot easier. But even at the India Design ID, I was a guest of Asian Paints. And there was someone who was waiting for me with a pass so that I could get in and actually cover what they're doing. But she would have taken maybe 5 minutes to get to where I was. And I just decided to walk up to the media registration and ask if my name was on the list. Luckily, there was someone at the table who recognized me. And they were like, oh, yes, we have a pass for you. Here you go. Even though I wasn't on the list earlier. So that was like, whoa, awesome. Like, how cool is that? I think as a blogger, I get to do that where I can basically just go to a desk and be like, hey, you know, do you have a media registration? I'm a blogger. This is my blog. Some of them know me sometimes. Sometimes they don't know me, but usually they don't say no. So that's great. The same thing happened at Pragati Maidan, which I did not expect at all. See, because the India Design place, you know, there are most of the clients or the brands there, they might have heard of me. So they kind of recognize me and they know that I have a blog, etc. So I thought it would be kind of easier. But even at Pragati Maidan, there was a girl at the counter who was like, oh, hey, you're Naina Redu. And I was like, oh my God, it's awesome. Like, that's great. I couldn't believe it. I basically got done with everything, like, tuck, 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 tuck. And I was done because I got the registration and I just went in, I met them. And I was like, wow, it's so simple. Otherwise, I would have had to stand in a really long queue where, you know, people were standing and doing the registration, etc. And I wasn't aware of the pre-registration. If I knew, I probably would have done that online. So yeah, I went and met these guys. They're called Selangor Malaysia. I think Selangor is a region in Malaysia. I have not done my research. I'm really sorry. And I spoke to them. And again, he said that he had not seen my blog. Luckily, network was working. So I opened my phone and showed it to him what it looked like on the phone. But I definitely told him to go and look at the website because the phone shows it in a mobile format. So you don't really get to see the layout, the way the blog is laid out, etc. So I showed it to him and he was like, oh, luckily they liked what they saw. And I do a mix of everything. I do a bit of personal style, but mostly I do a lot of lifestyle and travel and luxury, etc. So I also very clearly told him that I don't do fam trips, because their pitch was initially that we are doing a fam trip and we would like to include you. Please come and meet us. And I told him, even on email, I had told him earlier that I do not do fam trips, because fam trips are traditionally for, you know, for journalists or for press people who already have a day job at a publication. So the publication is giving them a salary or has commissioned them to go and cover this particular story, right? So they're getting paid by their publication to do this job. It doesn't matter what the brand is, for example, but it needs to be a fit with what the publication does or writes about. So for a blogger, a fam trip basically means taking 3, 4, 5 days out of your regular work month. And yeah, sure, it's a free trip, but you are expected to do something, right? You're expected to take photographs. You're expected to remember everything, because, you know, it's not just when bloggers are taken out for a fam trip, it's not just, oh, you go to one spot, one resort, one location and just stay there for 3 nights. You will probably, if it's a 4-day, 5 nights kind of thing, you will probably be sleeping in a different bed every night. It'll be at a different resort, probably even at a different city. You will probably eat each meal at a different place. So like breakfast will be somewhere else, lunch will be somewhere else, dinner will be somewhere else. I kid you not, okay? I kid you not. There are a lot of people who don't know this, because fam trips is not something that everyone does, okay? And as a blogger, I've done that. I did that initially, I think maybe once. And I was like, no, I cannot do this, because I am expected to write about each one of those resorts, each one of those restaurants, each one of those cities. That's not really traveling. I am basically, what am I doing? I am helping raise awareness about a particular destination. Yeah. So if I am being hired to do that, then yes, I will do it. We will create a plan. We will see what works with my audience. What is the location that the brand is trying to highlight? So then we can create a plan and we can work on it. But if you tell me that, oh, we'll give you a 5-day vacation, then you better give me something that is a vacation. I don't want to grow up with a group of 30 people, 30 other journalists. That's not a vacation. That's a fam trip. You, all of them are going to write about, you know, your agency or the location or the tourism board or whatever. I would love to do that. I love the fact that as a blogger, I'm invited to do these trips for free where all my expenses are taken care of. That is nice. But it's still work, yeah. You know, if I have to chill, I'm not going to travel to chill. I'll chill at home in my PJs in my bed and watch Netflix. If I have to travel on a vacation, I'll probably go to one place and then stay there for a minimum of 7 days, if not more. And just relax, get to know the place. Even not that, basically just go and relax. Like, fine, give me a beach, give me a hammock, give me lots of beer and I'm sorted. So I told them very clearly that, look, I don't do fam trips. I mean, it's not, I'm not trying to be a snob here, but it just doesn't make business sense for me. And first time, if it's a tourism board, they don't know me. They're complete strangers. They're not even from my country. So I understand that they might not feel comfortable enough or even have budgets to work with a stranger. So I don't mind doing a first trip with them where they just take care of all my expenses. But I still want it to be just me. I do not want to go in a group of people. So just me, in the sense, it could be me and Bharat, it could be me and Akanksha. So it depends if Akanksha is available, otherwise Bharat would go with me. And I'm more than happy to go with my entire family. So if you're going to take me and my husband and my both my parents and my sister and her husband, sure. I'm more than happy to do you know, a blog post. But then it needs to be on our terms. It can't be, okay, one day we'll do this, second day we'll do this, third day we'll do this. No. We'll sit with you and we'll create a plan, but no fam trips, please. And after that first time is done and the brand realizes that, okay, maybe there is value in working with Naina.co, maybe there's no value in working with Naina.co, maybe you don't get the kind of response you expected, so then we will not work together again. But I haven't lost anything, you haven't lost anything. But next time onwards, if you feel that yes, there is value in working with me, then I want to work. It needs to be a paid assignment. It needs to, then you can tell me, okay, 3 days we want to send you to Selangor, for example, and you know, you do this, 3 different days, and then we look at it as an assignment. And you can also get great photographs out of it, for example. So I told it to him really clearly. I wasn't really sure. I hope I wasn't being rude, because, you know, I'm loud, and I didn't want them to feel like, oh my God, you know, she's like full on intense or whatever. And he kind of got it. And he said that, you know, this meeting was just to kind of say hello and try to understand how people in India work, and they are focusing on Indian tourists. Till now, their focus had been on China last year. This year, they're trying to focus on Indian tourists. So that was interesting. I have never done a meeting like this earlier. I think I'm going to be a little more open to meetings like these. Like I said, 2007 is meeting year for me. So that was that. So I've had an exciting day. Okay, so now let's go to part two of what I wanted to talk about. And we are how much into it? I have no idea. How long has it been since I've been talking? Okay, perfect. 13 minutes. So we have another maybe about 12 to 13 minutes left where I wanted to talk about street style. So I have this thing on my blog called Eyes for Street Style. So I have this whole branding system of mine is Eyes for Destinations, Eyes for Dining, Eyes for Lifestyle. So there's also Eyes for Street Style. Now, I've been shooting street style since 2012, I think. Or maybe was it 14? Sorry, I don't remember. But it was either 12 or 2014. And I actually tried my hand for the first time when we were in Europe. Oh, yeah. So that was 2012. But I just seen this that people, you know, Tommy Torn does this. And I'd seen Scott Schumann doing it. And I was like, this is so cool. You know, I wish I could do it. India has such a vibrant sense of dressing, especially in, you know, smaller towns. And in cities, of course, it's a bit of a problem because most of the what you see on the road is very, is not really aesthetically pleasing. So the places you'd have to go would be fashion week or high-end events or, you know, invite-only events and things like that. Also, I was really, really scared of photographing on Indian streets. For example, you know, being a woman, just walking on the street is like, oh my God, is someone following me? Like, oh my God. So walking around with a camera, you know, that it looks yellow, it's yellow. And not having someone watching my back, because look, when I'm shooting, I have no idea what's going on around me. So when, you know, when I'm shooting street style and someone stands next to me and they try to have a conversation with me, I always tell them that, look, I don't mind. I really appreciate the company and the conversation, but I will not be making eye contact because I'm like, okay, I shouldn't miss anybody. I'm constantly scanning from left to right to left, you know, like you watch a tennis ball, left to right to left. So I tell them that I will not be making eye contact. And it's really hard for me to think of going and walking on an Indian road and shooting street style. Like, what would actually be street style here? So I'd never even considered it. I knew that people abroad had already kind of been sensitized to who street style photographers were, what were they doing. They didn't look at them very suspiciously. In India, it's very like, oh, you know, what are you doing? Whose photograph are you taking? Why are you taking this picture? What's going on? There, it's like they know what a street style photographer is. I mean, Scott Schumann's been doing it for God knows how long now. So people are kind of aware that, oh yeah, you know, this must be a street style photographer. So when we were traveling in Europe, I was carrying my 70-200mm 2.8 on the Nikon. And I took a lot of sneaky photos because that's what that was. I was, even there, I was so like, oh my God, what if like someone comes and tells me that this is illegal? Even though I'd read up online that it's not illegal, that in public places, you don't need the person's permission to take their picture. Even then, first of all, because it was all foreign countries and I wasn't really sure, like if every country has a different rule, which is true, by the way, every country has different rules. But that's the first time I actually shot anything close to what the street style genre is. And after that, once I came back to India, I was feeling like, oh, maybe I can actually do this. So the next, those days it used to be Will's Fashion Week. So the next fashion week that I went to in Delhi, I found myself a spot and I planted myself there. And I called the series hashtag keep walking. At that time, I did not know that it was also the tagline for Johnny Walker. So that was like, I found out after I published the series for the first time. After that, I changed it to Ice for Street Style. But I photographed all these people, obviously very well-dressed people because it was Fashion Week, hello. And I shot photographs of them walking by. I wasn't asking them to stop and pose because, first of all, I was shy to do that. And I was, you know, that would give them a chance to say no. So I decided to just stand in one place and just go snap and, you know, pan my camera left and right if I found someone who looked good or was dressed well, in my opinion. And I would take photographs of those people. I did that over 5 days and I got like a bunch of about 100 photographs that I selected and edited. And I published them on the blog and the response was amazing. I realized that there really wasn't anyone else doing any kind of street style. The only person I know in those days who was doing it was Manu of Whereabout. He still does it, but I'm crazy, right? I'm like super prolific. Like I shoot a lot and a lot. Manu's photos are more, you know, he takes the time to have a conversation. He knows who those people are. He talks about what they're wearing, what region of the country they're from, etc. I don't do that. I'm just like, ooh, nice photo. Ooh, nice photo. Photo, snap, 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 shoot, edit, and publish. I have the Ice for Street Style series currently is on the blog in 3 subjects, okay? So one is the one that I shot for Women's Wear Delhi at the India Art Fair at NSIC. So there is that series. The second series that is continuing is from Magnetic Fields that happened in Al Sisar. And the third series is what I also started shooting around the same time that we went to Al Sisar. It's called India on the Road, which is what I had initially wanted to do. I had wanted to photograph people on the road and it has taken me four or five years to actually start doing that. Even now, I don't shoot on the street. I shoot when I'm in the back of a cab, if I'm in a bus, I shoot from there. So I'm still not on the street, but it is still street style. I still don't feel safe enough to walk on Indian streets and take pictures of strangers. But, so 2012, I did the whole thing in Europe. And then when I came back, I did it at Fashion Week. And the first time I actually got paid to shoot street style was when I was commissioned by the Select City Walk Mall. So I had pitched to them that we should do a street style series for the mall. Because Select City Walk is like one of the coolest malls in Delhi. They get a certain kind of clientele that comes in. They usually dress really well. So the chances of me getting pictures of well-dressed people, aka good photographs for my blog, were a lot higher than on the street. So luckily they said yes. And I shot over a period of, I think, 3-4 days. And some of the photos also got published in their, in the mall magazine. I think it's called InStyle, if I'm not wrong. I could be wrong. I'm sorry. And the rest of it got published on the blog. And again, the response was amazing. People were like, oh, wow, you know, this is cool. And when I told them that I'd gotten paid to do it, they were like, oh my God, how is that even possible? Because it's really hard to explain to brands the value of street style. It's not, again, it's the same thing, right? When people come to you, come to me and brands say that, oh, you know, if we hire you to blog for us, how many sales of the product can we expect? And I'm like, oh my God, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Blogging and the reason you work with influencers or influencer marketing is to raise awareness. It's kind of like word of mouth. So you talk about the product, but I can't ensure sales, you know. Someone who trusts me might be like, oh yeah, I like how Naina consistently talks about this. I know she doesn't lie. So maybe this new brand that she's talking about, I've been thinking of getting myself a bag for a long time. Maybe I'll check it out. That's what it is. You keep the brand awareness up over a period of time. You good photographs. So it's about generating awareness. Similarly, street style, for example, I think would work best for events. So, you know, when it's fashion week, you're trying to show the Fashion Week's brand, okay? So you're trying to show what kind of people come there. So you're trying to link your brand with how these people look, right? So it's how we judge each other, right? It is a very judgy photography kind of thing. Because you're looking at someone and you're instantly judging, okay, is this person worth being photographed or not? And it's not judging the person's worth, but it's about their outward appearance. Pure and simple. I'm not trying to hide that fact. It is purely based on the person's outward appearance, not necessarily what they look like, but the clothes they're wearing. So it's about the accessories, the earrings, the jacket, the shoes, the bag, things like that. It's not about what they look like. It doesn't matter what they look like. And so you're associating the brand with the kind of people who show up to this brand's event. Similarly, when I, select City Walk, yeah, so the mall. What kind of people come to the mall? So you're trying to create that association that there is a certain kind of people who come to this brand's event or this brand's location, for example. So Select City Walk was the first one. The second time we got I got hired to do something similar was at Will's Lifestyle, at Will's Fashion Week. Will's hired me to, me and Akanksha actually, to shoot portraits of people at Fashion Week. So it wasn't exactly my, you know, keep walking while a street style, but it was, you know, we had to ask people to stop and then pose them and shoot that. So that was the second time that we got paid to do that. What was the third time? Third time was when it had become Amazon Fashion Week. And I don't know if you guys know about this online publication called The Hauterfly. Hauterfly. And Zahra Khan, she hired me. She needed someone, she's based out of Bombay, so she needed someone in Delhi to shoot art fair for, Amazon Fashion Week for them. And I was like, yes, please hire me. And I went and shot that over 5 days. And Zahra also wanted photos of people posed. So I did a set for her where I posed people. But I also did a set where people were just walking by, which was my style of natural, candid, whatever, etc. So I gave her stuff for her blog exclusively. And I also got stuff for my blog, which was different from what, you know, I had given to them. But I also published, so I called it hashtag Redhu into Hauterfly, which is what I normally do in terms of hashtags. Now I've changed the hashtags though. Now it is Naina into whatever, because Akanksha uses Redhu. So I don't want it to get mixed up. And so that was actually the third time. So WWD is actually the fourth time. So this time I was invited to the art fair and I wanted to shoot street style at the art fair. So I thought, why not actually pitch to some editors? Maybe somebody would say, okay, yeah, we'd like to commission you for this. So I wrote to about 8 to 9 international and Indian online and print publications. I wrote to their editors and I said that, hey, you know, I have access to the art fair. I will be going there and do you want me to shoot street style? And here is a link to street style that I've shot earlier. And WWD Road Pack. Thank you, Ash. Thank you so much. That was fun. And it was so professional. It was just, you know, they knew what they wanted. They told me what they wanted. They saw what I do and I did it and I sent it to them and it was published and it's done. Like, it was beautiful is what it was. And I am so stoked that that actually happened. I mean, my work on WWD, that is insanely cool. It's so cool. So that was the fourth instance. And, you know, it helps because, again, see, you're associating the brand with the kind of people that show up there. So India Art Fair, Street Style, and then you're like, oh, wow. So, okay, so you might not be able to articulate it, but that's how most of us respond even to, like, advertising and emotions and when we see someone dressed a certain way. So that's the appeal for all the Street Style, basically, to explain it very, very simplistically if brands are curious how this works. So, for example, for someone like Asian Paints, you know, at the India Design thing that's going on right now at NSIC, it could work because Asian Paints is, you know, assumed to be all about colors and, you know, the lots of paints and different colors. So maybe the Street Style, for example, if they hired me to shoot it, what I would do is I'd be like, okay, so I would focus on colors. And then we could do a theme in such a way that you start with the lightest of yellows and you go to like oranges and reds and then you go into browns and blacks and then you come out with like blues and then greens and then again back to yellow. So it could be like this theme thing that we could do. I have actually pitched this earlier to somebody who got in touch with me about Asian Paints, I think maybe last year or last to last year. So that's how you associate with the brand and that's what you can use Street Style for. I think it's a really cool way of an indirect way to promote the brand instead of, you know, being like, oh, buy our products. It's like a, yeah, okay, so this is what the brand stands for. You're generating brand awareness and things like that. And yeah, I mean, I get a lot of questions about Street Style. People, photographers also ask me all the time that, how does it work? Do you need permissions? You know, what if someone comes and says no to you? Trust me, it took me a really long time to actually start shooting Street Style. And I have never had someone come to me and say that, can you please delete the photo, like right there and then. I've had one person who came to me online and said, can you please delete the photo? Because I had included their child's face in it, which was a huge mistake on my part. I never photograph children for Street Style because children don't really have agency because they're minors and they need, again, it's not a legal requirement, but I would prefer to take permission and shoot a child's face if I had to do that. So I don't usually photograph children, but the kurta she was wearing was so amazing that I think for some reason I kind of forgot that the child's face was in the photo. I immediately took it down, obviously, because, I mean, it's their photo. The other thing to keep in mind is that if you're going to use those photos on your blog, you better not have any ads on your blog. Because if you have ads on your blog, that kind of falls into commercial use. And you cannot use a person's likeness for commercial purposes without their permission. That's what a model release is for. Now, generally, for Street Style kind of stuff, this is like a gray thing. Because even abroad, you know, if a website uses photographs of Street Style of people, you know, fashion weeks all over the world, all these magazines use it. They all have display ads on their websites. So they pay the photographer, but those people, again, it's a public space. So in a public space, you don't really need permission, but you can't use those images commercially, which means you can't put that person's, you know, photo on a hoarding and be like, ye wala product khareedo and let's buy this and things like that. So there is a bit of a gray area, but I prefer not to dance around that gray area. I'm very clear about that. That's one of the reasons why my blog doesn't have ads. Like, believe it or not, I know it sounds a little silly, but that's one of the reasons I don't have display ads. I don't want to be any confusion. I don't want there to be any confusion that these images are being used commercially. They're not being used commercially. I am only trying to showcase my portfolio, saying that, hey, you know what? See, this is what I can do. I take amazing photos and that's about it. So if an editor hires me to, commissions me to do a Street Style shoot, it is literally just to show what kind of people were there. They're not, no one's really directly trying to sell anything, which is why brands, Street Style is not, neither is blogging for directly selling stuff. Okay, I think that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about. If you have any questions about how a blogger can work with a tourism board, how a blogger can work with street style. If you have any questions around these subjects or any other subjects, please ask me. You can ask me anywhere. You can email me. You can leave a comment on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Although on Instagram, please, you know, unless it's in the thing, it's a comment and under one of the captions, please don't send me a private message. I really can't look at private messages. Emailing is ideally the best because I'm there. And thank you for listening to the 37th episode of the Naina Redu Experience. Until next time, bye-bye.